sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in this house, what he's doing in your life, your house, your homes, every aspect of your life. He's pouring out his Spirit upon you. He's moving, he's teaching, he's encouraging, he's challenging. And we need to recognize that this morning. Recognizing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords absolutely loves you. You are his daily delight. And he delights in who you are and everything about you. What is God saying to you today? What is that anointing piercing through? What is it changing in your life immediately today? What is he showing you? What answers is he giving you? There's so much. Because we all have different lives that we are in. God's plans are so personal. Your plan is personal to God. He said it before the foundation of the earth. That's the God that we serve, who deserves all the worship and the glory and honor. Hallelujah. Dr. Mila, would you make your way? And also, Pastor Angel, would you come up also on the platform? This past week, Dr. Mila informed me, communicated with me, that she has a word for us as a church. And you know as well as that we receive her as a gift from God. Remember the series we just did. A prophetic word that is more than encouraging, but it is a teaching word. Because of the prophetess that will bring the word of God to us. And that we receive it with fullness and gladness. And what I would like to do is to have you be seated. And that way you very intently you can listen to what God is saying to us. And I have Pastor Angel up here because Pastor Angel, I just, during worship, the Holy Spirit just said, this word is for the Spanish church specifically also. And as you lead this afternoon, 2 o'clock, the best Spanish church in the world, 2 o'clock at Valley Community Church. And to me, the best pastor too, but amen. 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 So just avail yourself, take a deep breath. And this is not something holy. If you're new here, we welcome you. Watching online, we welcome you. If you haven't heard anything like this before, that's okay. You'll find it in Scripture, all through Scripture. And so receive what the Lord is showing us.
During service, as we were worshiping, the Lord gave me a message and a vision. This mighty warring angels has been strategically and released around this nation, the battle for America. And as we were worshiping, I saw, and the Lord says, the enemy has infiltrated the ranks and a breach on the boundaries of the protection walls of my commandments. And like a pent-up flood, heaven has lifted a standard against the evil one. And I saw the shield of protection has been activated, and God said, enter into the shelter of my wings, my children, in my presence. And the Lord, that morning, put in my heart early in the morning to write it. And so I'm reading this to you. It's called Operation Restoration. His holy vengeance and divine retribution. God is saying to us, you close the door in the secret place until this is past. In the book of Isaiah 26, it says, come, my people, enter your chambers and shut the door behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until this indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Before you today is a choice. It's not an election of policies, a political persuasion, or a person. It's a choice before you. It's life and death, blessing and cursing, destruction or deliverance. Choose therefore life, that you and your children may live. This, I am not asking you for your vote. I am asking you for your obedience. You choose truth, my words. Obey my commandments, the protection of my guaranteed blessing, and success and blessing will follow and overtake you. The walls of protection is rising as the walls of destruction is toppled over. The operation recovery is now activated. Your wholeness, your wealth, your soundness of mind, your healing and your deliverance. So in boldness and in confidence, come in my presence and touch the scepter of the king. And hear the king say to you, ask me for your family, for this nation, for this generation, and generation yet to be born. As Esther, the intercessor for Israel, came and touched the scepter of the king, and the king said, I give you half of my kingdom. But God would say to you today, as I have the world in my hands and I am in control, I have asked you to be in partnership with me. As it is in heaven, so it shall be done on earth. And I ask my church today to rise up. And I ask my church today, the promise of the king, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. So God is saying, stand in alignment, in formation, and engage the enemy in battle, and you shall recover all. This is a crossover season. So God is asking us, possess your promise and possess this land.
You can stay here. Pastor, go ahead and stay here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Yes, Lord. I take it you've received the word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray now. Let's just pray. Father, as you have used our sister, Dr. Mila, into this boldness, into this realm of spiritual kingdom truth, we receive the word that has been given to us. We stand now amazed at the authority that's been given to us to rise up as a church and to proclaim victory in every area of your word. That your word is true, and we receive this word that came straight from heaven into our lives, into our families, and everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Ryan. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow, what a wonderful day it is, isn't it? Dr. Mila, Dr. Rolando, thank you for your passion of ministry to the world and what you do in the medical field, all the above. And I rejoice, as I said this morning to you, Mila, I rejoice in the gifting that you have, and I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless Dr. Rolando, for the administrator of the gifting of your ministry. I bless you today for being obedient to the Lord and being who you are in my life personally, speaking into my life and also the congregation that I love dearly. I just want to talk to you a little bit of what is happening. We had told you that they were going to begin on the roof. That did not take place because the weathermen were wrong and it didn't rain, but they said it was going to rain. And so we begin tomorrow morning. They will be here and we'll begin the 4 to 6 week process of the roof. Well done in all of you that are givers, tithers. Well done, because we were able to just basically write out the check. We have dug in regarding the trees. As you notice, it's kind of bare on this side. We dug in and found that we have a little gas pipe rotting, and so we're redoing that, and we're doing that as quickly as possible. So as it begins to get a little bit cooler, that we do have heat. And so we're doing our best to take care of that. And we're on the way. We'll be telling you of a meeting, church meeting, as we begin to dig into many things. But I want to introduce to you to a very special couple, ministers of the gospel, who function in many areas of Foursquare, our organization. John and Penny Wolf are here with us today, and John is the property advisor of Foursquare and many other titles, and you know, you can only carry so many, but I know when you do that, you carry many titles. You're a counselor, you're a peacemaker, you're everything in that area, and his beautiful wife are here with us. And John and Penny, would you stand as we can welcome you? John is the one that made me look smart in front of you, and because building and all that is a little bit, I've had some experience, but is a little bit above my pay grade, and so we have the experts and the people, or being able to lead us to people who know, so that we do everything right, that we, every penny that is spent in the reconstruction of our campus is done properly, led of the Holy Spirit, and done right, because you were faithful for many years in your giving that we are able to do this. So why don't you all give yourself a hand? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence today. It was manifested. You showed us things. You taught us things. And Lord, help us to make that decision in obedience to what you've asked us to do. Because you've already done it, you've asked us to follow in and enter in to this manifested presence, to enter in to a place of worship that is so huge. And Father, you saw these amazing people, many online, probably stood in their own living rooms. And they said, we choose to follow. I come against any enemy that would want to bring confusion. I come against any enemy that would want to bring any divisiveness of anger and frustration. And I release the comfort of God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit that's greater than feeling good, but it's an understanding of the next steps. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the past few months, we have talked about many different subjects, but we keyed in on two. Remember the importance of a relationship. When we spent 10 weeks, actually 11 weeks, on the Ten Commandments, understanding that really it is about relationship. Because remember, our premise is that Israel was in 430 years of slavery. And in that slavery, the hurt, the bondage, the demonic influence that took place, the loss of true identity happened to them. And so what God did was gave Moses the Ten Commandments to create a new culture, to get rid of Egypt and the culture of Egypt out of Israel. And so they can walk in the power and the authority of who God is. And how do you do that? The first four is relationship with God. That's what it talks about. And the last six is relationship with one another. Lo and behold, that wasn't a one thing mentality or culture shift that God was doing. So that when the church began, he did the same thing. So our last series is we talked about the gifts of Jesus and the fivefold pulpit offices, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, who they are and what they are to do. And we found out that bottom line, that they are to teach and equip us how to relate with God and how to relate with one another, relationship, setting a culture, or we could say a culture shift to a church culture, a church that loves God, loves one another, and goes out and preaches the gospel. And we are equipped by these gifts, and we were taught in this to receive them with gladness so that the Word of God has a free course. Today we begin a new series that will take us quite a few weeks called Living in His Presence. And we are beginning this new series today by explaining to you what is His presence or what is the presence of God. But we need to talk about this by giving you there are three aspects of God's presence. First of all, omnipresence of God. This means that God is everywhere. And we're going to see this today, that God is everywhere, but there's confusion because we find in Scripture, we're going to show this, is that people hid from the presence of God. Well, how do you hide from the presence of God when He's everywhere? So we need to understand what that means. So the omnipresence is stated in the Scripture that God is everywhere. The inner presence of God, this is where the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside us, that new church culture. See, the Holy Spirit came upon in the Old Testament, but after Jesus Christ, now the Holy Spirit, He gave us the Holy Spirit, He came in us when we became born again. And then what we really want you to understand about living in His presence is really the manifest presence of God 24/7. All right, the manifest presence of God, we're going to show you today. We're going to explain it. We're going to take you to many scriptures. So turn your Bibles to Genesis 3 and Jonah chapter 1. If your tablets, click on those and you can follow along. But I will have other scriptures that I'll read. Psalm 139:7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" So God's everywhere, because you can't. You can't hide from God. My goal in this series, though, is to focus and discover, listen to this, it's going to be the thread all through this whole series, is how important worship is to make known the real life presence of God is. And you can live in that presence every single day. Now, when we worship, like today, we sense the presence of God. But let me ask you this, can you live in that presence every day and every week? Yes. I'm going to say this. I wrote this down. I think we can, but let me just tell you, I really know. But I'm saying I think we can because I'm going to show you scripture that will prove to you you can. All right? Because I want you to join in with me. We're going to dig deeper into our relationship with the Lord. That's been our theme basically all year. Our relationship with the Lord and relationship with one another and how we minister to the world. So I personally, I'm enjoying and living in God's presence. And I'm going to equip you as a gift from Jesus in how to do the same. So let's look at the first thing we must talk about is His manifest presence. His manifest presence. God started this whole thing about His manifest presence when He was walking in the garden and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. That's how all this began. He created Adam and Eve. He's created us in His image and likeness, and His desire is to manifest Himself in you and me every single day of our life. So the question, or actually two questions, we need to ask. What did we lose when Adam and Eve fell? When sin came on this earth? What did we lose? And what did Jesus come to restore or to redeem? There was something lost because of sin, but Jesus came and He restored that. We find in Genesis 3:8, after they ate the fruit, it says this, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, Eve, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So the result of sin causes us to try to hide from the presence of God, even on our worship services. If you blew it last week, Satan will try to lure you into a thought. And here's the thought. I can't worship. Because if I do, I'm a hypocrite. Let me just make a statement. Then why in the world did Jesus come? He came so you wouldn't be a hypocrite. He came so that you could walk in this newness of life, being born again. And so when you, I'll say it this way, when you blow it, when you make a mistake, you can still enter into the presence of God. So you can enter boldly even after you make mistakes. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because you sing good or clap your hands on beat. So it tells us they hid themselves from the presence of God. So it cannot be talking about the omnipresence of God because God's everywhere. So if God is everywhere, which He is, then how can you hide from His presence? You can't. Adam and Eve were hiding from His manifest, made known presence. They couldn't hide from His omnipresence, but they hid from His manifest or made known presence. In Exodus 33, verse 14, God says to Moses, and He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to Him, "If Your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Because Moses understood the difference between omni and manifest. He says, if Your presence doesn't go with us when God is everywhere, Moses is referring to the manifest presence of God. And I want to stop for a moment and say this to you. You and I, if you're born again, can receive and walk in the manifest presence of God every single moment of our lives. Too many preachers are preaching, you got to work for it, you got to earn it, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that in order to have this. And I want to tell you, in Jesus' name, that is divisive and that brings confusion of what Scripture really says. So, I am going to walk with you, Moses, on a daily basis like he walked with Adam and Eve, the manifested presence. Moses said, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go because I want to live in that manifest presence. Because he knows that manifest presence is where God does things that we can't do. So let me give you an example to help you understand the manifest and the omnipresence of God. If I said there was a multi-billionaire in every service we have, all three today, his presence would be with us. But if he got up and began to give every one of us $1 million, that would be his manifest presence. He would be manifesting his presence by what he is doing and being made known of who he is because he could do that because he's a multi-billionaire. I think all of us want to stop and look around. Any multi-billionaires around here? Yeah. But see, the manifest presence is what God can do in and for you and through you. So it's one thing to just have him in the room, but to have him give you something that other people couldn't give you. So when we come to church and we enter into worship, or we go into our quiet time with the Lord, God wants to manifest his presence to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to show you things. He wants to do things in you. He wants to make his presence known. I'm here. People pray, God, where are you? I'm here. He wants to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. That is his manifest presence. So I'm going to talk about points 2 and 3, but I'm going to invert it, and I'm going to talk about point 3 and make that point 2. You'll understand what I'm saying here. So the second point is leaving the presence of God. Is it possible to leave his presence even though he is omnipresent? Everywhere. See, you can't leave his omnipresence, but it's possible to leave his manifest presence. Remember, the thread is worship, where he does something for you that you can't do. Think about Genesis 3:8. They hid from his presence. In Genesis 4, Cain murders Abel. Watch this. Genesis 4, verse 16. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So Cain hid from the presence of the Lord. Not the omni, but the manifest presence. Cain went out from the presence of God. How can you do that if God's everywhere? You can't go out of the omnipresence, but you can go out from the manifest presence. I'll show you how. In Jonah, look what happens. Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Watch this, verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That theme is throughout Scripture. People hid from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Again, Jonah is not fleeing from the omnipresence of God because he's everywhere. But he fled from the manifest presence. So then the question is, how do you leave the manifest presence? Here's the answer, very simple. You don't do what he told you to do. He told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree. They ate from the tree. They left the presence of God. He told Cain to deal with his attitude of God not accepting his offering. Because remember, in our teaching, that he did it in a process of time where Abel gave it because it was a tithe. And Cain just figured out, well, when I can afford it or when there's time, I'll give it. God wants to be first, all right? So he told Cain to deal with his attitude of God not accepting his offering because it was a process of time. And it says that he left the presence of God because he didn't do what he was told. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he didn't do it. He left the presence of God. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to focus on a word in our society today. It's almost a bad word now. All right, we're going to focus on the word obedience. The reality of obedience with what God says is very important to walk in the manifest presence of God. But because it is a word that has negative connotation to a lot of people and a lot of different subjects, so let's focus on doing what God says. So we're going to do what God says instead of focusing on the word obedience, which is the real word. Last year, we talked about the Holy Spirit. We had a theme of the Holy Spirit. We learned how to hear his voice. Now, God is leading us as a church in doing what he says. Follow this. When we're talking about the church, we're talking about our life, every aspect of your life. So the focus is, now that you heard the Holy Spirit, what are you going to do? We taught on tithing, and God told you to tithe. And today, if you're not tithing, you've hid from the manifest presence of God. Are you living in God's presence? What if God told you about loving your wife in a greater way? There's a season in your life that is becoming difficult, and God says, you're praying, God, what do we do about the situation? And men, God says, I want you to love your wife more. Or women, I want you to love your husband more. Have you left the presence of God? Because we're talking about what are you doing with what God said. We're talking about the manifest presence or living in the presence of God. So when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, what Scripture tells us, what I'm trying to bring to you in a very gracious manner, is then you begin to leave God's presence. I'm talking about a willful disobedience. I'm going to use a term. You know, some theologians don't like the term, but when you make mistakes, because how many of you have done something and you know it was sin, all right, and you did it, and you said, where'd that come from? Okay, I'm going to dig a little deeper now. Driving down the road, someone cut you off. What'd you say? Okay, there's a picture. God wants you to live in his presence. 1 John 1:9 says, confess our sins before the Lord, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's a lifestyle of, you know, it's a lifestyle. With me, maybe you're a little bit better or more perfect, But with me, I live a lifestyle of 1 John 1:9. Pastor, you're a pastor. I don't have anything more than Jesus than you have because I'm called to be a pastor. That I'm a gift to the church. But hey, this gift, I need to unwrap myself once in a while and rewrap myself in the Word of God. Because life will deal things to you. So God wants you to live in His presence. You do what He says. So point three, and we'll conclude with this, is entering His presence. You can be in the same room with your spouse and not be in their presence. Why is that? Your husband ever done that? Have you ever said to your husband, "Are you listening to me?" Some of you are honest. You can go to church and not be in His presence. You can even read the Bible and not enter His presence. What we're simply telling you is how you leave the presence of the Lord. So now let's understand how you enter the presence of the Lord. Now, there are many ways, but again, in this series, we're going to focus, I believe, on the major thing that God graced us with to be able to enter the presence of the Lord. And we're going to focus on worship. Wasn't it amazing this morning, our worship? Amen. Yeah. What God is doing through these teams up here, what He's doing, I don't know if you've ever been part of the worship at the Spanish church. They're awesome. And they lead in such a wonderful way. But I want to say to you, is worship is such a key, and we need to understand that it is so much of a key that if we're not entering into worship, we struggle with a manifest presence of God with us 24/7. Psalm 95, 1 and 2 says this, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." We did that today, didn't we? Psalm 100, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Music, singing, praise, worship, might be more important than you think. It's so important in entering into the presence of the Lord. Well, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm not musically inclined." We're not talking about how inclined you are. It's about praising the one who is worthy of praise. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about Him. And through that, when our spirit, when we begin, our soul, we begin to rise up and worship the Lord like we did this morning, then what happens is we open the door of that relationship with God of not only omnipresence, because He's everywhere, but the manifest presence. And God begins to speak to you. He begins to show you things that you didn't know. Scripture says, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know." The Holy Spirit will show you these things. Why? Because you're entering in the manifest presence. Here it is. Just like Adam and Eve, God begins to walk with you. And He makes Himself known in every situation of your life. Well, you know, some of us are like this. Two guys were in church standing next to each other, singing and worshiping. And the worship leader had everyone greet each other after worship. And the two guys turned to each other, and one guy said to the other, "You remind me of a jailhouse singer." He looked at him, "Jailhouse singer? You mean Paul and Silas worshiping in jail?" He said, "No, you're always behind a few bars and looking for a key." You don't have to be a musician to do musical worship. Anybody have Sirius Radio? Okay, you go online and you listen to music. I'm not talking about Creedence Clearwater Revival. I'm talking about Christian music. I have that in my library, CCR. Is that sin, Pastor? Oh, I played instruments when I was a kid. I stopped playing instruments, so I don't play instruments. But I'll turn on Sirius Radio and drive in the car or my phone. This every morning I come in and I listen. You know, I love the contemporary music. I listen to hymns and the singing of that, and you should see me in my car. 5:30 in the morning driving to church here, and I'm just singing away. Now I can sing, but see, that's what you can do. You will have what we have here. Every single morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time that you take, you can develop worship in your heart and have other people help you do it. Amen. Or just sing Acapulco. I know, a cappella. But just sing. Doesn't matter. Your steering wheel might wilt, but that's okay. It's okay. Sing. That's not what this is about. It is entering in the Holy of Holies, and it's worship that brings you there. Amen? Give the Lord an applause. So right away, I sense the presence of the Lord in here, because you know there are people this morning at 8 o'clock, people at 8:30 praying in tongues. People in my office, we were praying in tongues. We were praying, proclaiming the word of God over the services. And when I entered in with the manifest presence of the Lord, and I sensed it in the whole house. Because you are doing this. So we're talking about, what did God ask you to do? Are we doing it? I know that word, obedience. But are we doing that? And if we're doing that, what we're going to set up and what you're going to experience is the fullness of walking in His presence. And when you face things in your life, you're not alone, because He's walking with you, as He did with Adam. We had a guest a while back, and he was from the place that I work out. He goes, "I'm going to go check you out." So he came to the service. I saw him sneak in. I didn't recognize him. I saw him sneak in. And so after that, the next day, I go early on Monday to go work out, and he was there. He said, "Man, guys, you should have heard the music. Man, when I came in, it's like, whoa, all the music and the singing, and everything's really great." See, he didn't know what he's experiencing was the presence of God. What he was experiencing was the power of God, the manifested presence of God that was here. And he was telling all the guys, "Great music, you got to go." And I'm thinking, "Well, what about my message?" You know, gee. You got to be made of rubber being a pastor. See, people will experience that in your life when you're walking in the mall. Not because you're standing there singing, "Praise the Lord," but God's already with you and manifesting Himself, and people see that. How many times have people walked up to you and said, there's something different about you? You know, I always say, well, it's because I'm so good looking, you know. No, it's because of God. Right? And that's what it's about. It's about walking in this presence. And, you know, great books out there, Will You Pray for an Hour? Will you, you know, all the different, those are great books. But I'm just telling you, if you got 15 seconds, you have a minute, you have 10 minutes, 30 minutes, just worship, listen to it. And when you're doing housework or something, put on, you know, praise music and just listen to it and enter in. And what you're doing is you're opening the door. And we're going to get so much deeper with this, but I just want to give you the introduction today and just really show you how powerful it is. I know everywhere I go, because I practice this, is the manifested presence of God is with me. And I'm no better than any of you. Anybody that's watching online, all from Edison, I'll tell you, I'm no better than you. Matter of fact, I wouldn't go up on those poles like you do. Because I don't know electricity. I'm afraid of the outlet, you know. Look at this scripture. It's awful. It's really awesome. Through the Lord's mercies and lamentations, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Pastor Ryan brought this out. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So when you're having a bad day, go to bed early. Wake up in the morning, it's new. Walk with him every day. You know, you may have times you dive into worship and you go deep. And that very same day, everything falls apart. Everything goes wrong. See, the reality is God is always there. And even when you're walking in manifested presence, things go wrong. You know what happens? God will show you what to do. And then we become obedient. Oops, wrong word. And we follow what he says. And the peace and the joy of the Lord will be strong. Because why? You are walking in the presence of God. Everywhere you go, God is there. People will say, I don't know where God was. Maybe they've been disobedient. Maybe they've backed away, complaining about life and everything, and they didn't enter in with worship. Let's all stand. I guess what I'm really saying is, whatever kind of day you're having, have it in the presence of God. Don't let anything stop you from being who God's called you to be. Don't let any child, grandchild, parent, young people, you want to know what success really is? It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, walking in the manifest presence of God. Amen. And you have it easy. God did all the work. You just need to choose to walk in it. Don't hide from God. Just whatever mistakes, wherever you're at, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, go, here I am, God. I'm all you. I'm all yours. That's who you are. You are a son or a daughter of God that can rise up in any situation because God walks with you. In Jesus' name, I proclaim the blessing of the Lord over every person that has heard my voice. Everyone listening, podcast later on, in Jesus' name, you are Jesus' daily delight. And he wants to walk with you wherever you've been, whatever you've done. Come back to him and you will see the graciousness and the grace of God all over you. Father, I thank you for our nation. In Jesus' name. That first person that recognized Jesus that was in Mary's womb was a fetus, a baby in Elizabeth's womb, where he jumped for joy because he was in the presence of God. We pray for the innocent. We pray in Jesus' name, aligning that a church would find favor in the sight of God and man. And politically, we come against the confusion that is brought, especially against the church, because it's the church that will save the world. And we give you praise for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom and insight in every choice we make this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Love y'all. Have a great day.